Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Rehap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, are you ready to break down the Chad Stravaganza that we had these past two episodes?
I feel like I just ran a marathon. Like, I'm tired. I'm, like, achy. I need a couple of bananas to get me back to full strength. This was a long 2 days for us.
Definitely was, and I think that's about marathon running time for, you know, not me. I would take a lot longer, I think. But, you know, I actually watched all episodes today. I watched the other one this morning. So we're recording right after the second one. And they were a little chatted out, a little bacheloretted out. But I have to give it to the editors. At least they packed a lot into these episodes. We didn't get left hanging on something completely ridiculous or arbitrary.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it dragged. Mm-hmm. Either episode, which is a real big thing for me. I really enjoyed these two episodes. I'd say that they were a lot better than the first couple so far.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I agree. I think we got to see more variety. We had a lot of dates packed in there. And we have a new villain who, you know, didn't really disappoint in his villainous ways in these two episodes. And he's still around in 2 weeks when we come back. And when they had to give us four hours this week, we're get a little vacation next week from The Bachelorette. And there's sports reasons behind that, Haley? Is that correct?
Yeah. So they're thinking that it might be possible that the Cavs will push the current series with the Golden State Warriors to 5 games. Okay. I don't know if that's actually going to happen because the Cavs have not been looking too good.
Okay.
But either way, we're going to reap the benefits of this. We're going to have a little mid-season vacation. We're going to rest our vocal cords, see our families, and just live our lives.
Right. And I guess if they don't show an NBA Finals, if there's an NBA Finals game, they're going to re-air The Bachelor at 20 episode, from what I can tell from TV Guide. So everybody
really?
Wins. Yes.
That's too funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good thing we don't have to podcast about that either.
Yep.
But hopefully, yeah. So the guys are going to use that time to go further into hiding from Chad so he doesn't find them and kill them, because murder was the theme of this episode, it seemed like.
Murder, creepy whistling, wandering in the woods. Now, he actually threatened Jordan, and I thought they had to sign something in these reality shows about threatening violence would get you eliminated. Is this just, you know, Bachelorette turning the other cheek?
Hey, there's no rules.
No rules.
On this franchise.
That's
there's
true.
No
Chris
rules.
Harrison told us that. Oh, well, let's see if we can jump back to the first date and the beginning of Monday's episode, if we can remember that far back. But we started off still in California at that point, and Chris Harrison tells them there's going to be 2 one-on-ones and 1 group date, and the first group date goes to Chase. Now, Chase is the one that we can't distinguish from anyone else, so hopefully did this date help you figure out more about Chase?
Not really, because in the second episode, when JoJo was talking to Ben Roethlisberger mm-hmm. about which guy she liked, she was like, yeah, I had a date with Chase, and he really shot to my rankings. I was like, would you consider that, like, one-on-one time during a group date, like, a date? And now that you say, like, no, they actually went on a one-on-one, like, my mind is blown, because I don't remember that, and that was last night.
Yeah. So you don't remember the, hey, and the angergasm and all that, and Chase's huge tattoo.
I tried to just block it out of my memory because I've been scarred by something like this on the Bachelor franchise before, and I did not want it to happen again.
I think I know where you're going with this. The crystals and Carly date with the sex therapist or whatever she was.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know about this for a first date or any kind of date activity, really.
Yeah, I can't convince my boyfriend to do any acro yoga with me.
Yeah. But it did lead to
I try often.
I didn't know that you were trying to get him into yoga. You're like, let's totally go to yoga.
Mainly, I just want someone to do gymnastics with.
Okay.
That's why I do yoga, because I want to, like, it's like an adult gymnast almost.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were
doing it. But more peaceful.
Yeah.
I've heard.
All right. Well, what did you think of the yab-yab technique that they learned, or yib-yab, or where she basically just straddled him?
Well, I certainly have never done that aspect of yoga, thankfully, because that would be awkward. It was weird. I didn't like watching on television. JoJo didn't like doing it, but Chase clearly loved it.
Yeah.
I know in that position, JoJo probably felt a little something, and that's why she felt like she really got to know Chase in this state.
She felt them reaching to another level. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And I thought it was weird because, first of all, there's that the teacher and some partner that she had modeling it for them, and they just start making out while they're side by side, and then they pan out and those people just left. So I think they made everyone uncomfortable. And was just
I know, because when they were doing that, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe these people are like watching them like tantric make out. But they were gone. Sorry.
Were you happier that they moved on to a private concert after this?
Oh my God. You guys know how I feel about private concerts. Okay, so I couldn't figure out if this guy, if I had seen him in concert before, or if he was on some sort of singing television show. Mm-hmm. I was told by our dear friend Angela Bloom that it's Charles Kelly, one third of Lady Antebellum. And I think I have seen Lady Antebellum in concert before, so I was correct.
Okay, so he looked a little familiar to you. All right.
Yeah, he looked a little familiar, and I couldn't figure out if it was just like he looks like all of the guys on this show.
So he's trying to go.
But he kind of does.
He's trying to go Beyonce on Lady Antebellum.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. All right. What did you think of just Chase and JoJo's connection overall? Taking the yab yab yib yab yoga connection out of it, but did you see
clearly
something?
It didn't leave a lasting impression on me.
Right, and he's on your draft.
But I do think, I do think Chase is top three best looking guy in this house.
Okay. With Jordan and who else?
I'd actually say Derek and Wells are in my top three. Like Jordan's on the outside looking in fourth place.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, Wells is moving up there, isn't he? In terms of just, he's kind of that steady feature. A little bit of a dark horse, I suppose. So hoping he gets a one-on-one at some point. But he already had All for One, so we can only imagine what his one-on-one could have. But he's up on the next group date. This was a pretty big group date, which Chad was not excited about. And we'll get to his comments. But on this group date, it said, love has no secrets. It was Jordan, Grant, Wells, James F., Christian, Ollie, Daniel, your fave Vinny, Nick, Evan, Alex, and Chad. And so right away, Chad is making comments like, oh, well, I don't want to go with 12 other guys. And then everyone else, you know, gets on him for that. What were your thoughts about that reaction?
Were they right? So here's the thing. Everything that Chad says makes sense, but he just like says it in the dickiest way possible. So it makes everybody he's right. It does suck to go on a date with like 12 other guys. And we've heard that before from like women and men.
Yeah, they
like,
always say
I don't want to do
that. I'd rather just, you know, have my one-on-one.
But the way he says it was, well, I'm not going to go on this date. And I can understand in this, like, realm that they're currently living in, how that would upset the guys who just, like, aren't getting a date this week at all. I'd be like, well, F you. Like, Sure, I'll take your place and hang out with JoJo if I don't get a date at all.
Right. It's kind of like that Jubilee last season, that reaction when she didn't want to go on the helicopter.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of like an offhand comment, but they take it way out of proportion. Like, oh, you don't want to go?
They have literally nothing else to do but think about what each other says.
Exactly. Yeah, so there are a few guys who, like Derek, who had the one-on-one before, so he wasn't going. And Luke and Robbie and James T, who are sitting there, like, knowing that some of them wouldn't get a date at all. But it was a little over the top. But, yeah, agreed. Chad's delivery. And he doesn't really know how to come back from, you know, if someone confronts him on something or just challenges what he says. He doesn't really know how to explain it away or in a way that makes anyone feel good.
He doesn't know how to live his life with tact.
No.
And, like, I can't tell if he's super self-aware or has no self-awareness whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, because, well, we'll get to it more, but yeah, if they say you threaten someone, well, no, that wasn't it. You had to be there and all these things. Or I can't get someone to shut up without punching them in the mouth. And it's like some things he says are really astute about the other guys, and then other things it's like, were you there when you said these things? Do you know how you're perceived at all? And then to imagine him selling real estate and stuff like that. And just living outside of the Bachelor realm. I can't even picture it. Although there was...
I know, Jeff, my brother said to me tonight, he's like, wait, Chad sells luxury real estate? Does that exist in Tulsa? And I was like, that's what we said.
Exactly. But there was a news story that came out about him this week. Did you see that going around? It was kind of in the Bachelor gossip about some other business of Chad's.
This is the best thing that has ever come out of the Bachelor franchise. Amy, can you share with the audience what happened this week?
All right. So the story came out that there's these domain names that were purchased, and they're names of certain Bachelor contestants. I think maybe Daniel and Derek and a few others. So like their first and last name. And when you go to them, they redirect to Chad's Instagram. So Chad purchased those. So he owns these other, like, literally owns these other dudes.
This is just so, so deeply funny to me. Like, I can't get over it. Like, it's like these glimmers where it's like, oh my God, Chad is like a genius.
Right. It's like this ongoing thing that he did behind the scenes.
So funny.
Yeah, and it's just coming out now. So, yeah, that's pretty funny. And I was trying not to read in too much with, like, the names. I don't think there's much to be read into with the names that he purchased. So I was like, I hope I'm not getting any spoilers here because he can't. But I think it's just that guys already owned their own or something, so he couldn't get everybody's.
Yeah, let's go to JordanRogers.com. It's Rogers, not Rodgers, right?
Good question.
Let's see.
Yeah, he probably already had one.
No, you know what? He should have bought Jordan Rogers because it looks like it's available.
Oh. Interesting.
Anyway, someone, you can buy that for us. And
yeah. Redirect to the wrap up page.
Yeah, please.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I can buy it now for $790.
Oh, that's why he didn't get that one. He got the cheap ones. But he definitely got the Alex's, his rival on the 2-on-1 date.
Did he? Oh, that's amazing.
So. Yeah, and his buddy.
And he got like Daniel. The JoJo Fletcher or something like that. Or
Joelle or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not just even other guys, but just things that people might redirect. So
like amazing. Great work, Chad.
Yes.
Just perfect.
Just in line with what we'd want out of our villain. So this group date was... They went to a theater in L.A., and I don't know. How would you describe this show, Haley?
Okay. So the guys walk in, and then this woman is on stage, and she's making very sexual noises. None of these guys are used to hearing these noises because I don't think they've ever, like, brought any pleasure to a woman before. Like, none of these guys.
Vinny admitted it. He's like, I don't know what was going on. That was his
with a hairline like that, like I understand why. So then it gets this point where they realize it's like a sex comedy show, and they're going to have to perform. They're going to have to tell a sexual intercourse story in front of an audience. Like, most of the guys are like, okay, yeah, this is fine. I can do this. And then Chad is cranky because he doesn't feel like he should have to share personal details with JoJo yet, or anyone in particular.
So is that another case of Chad saying something that kind of makes sense, but just his reaction is...
I mean, yes and no-ish, because the way I look at it, it's supposed to be like a funny thing. It's whatever. And mm-hmm. B, if you're expecting to propose to JoJo in a matter of 3.5 weeks, then yeah, like, share some personal detail, like mm-hmm. down and dirty and deep with your conversation topic. And I don't think this is out of line at all. And I understand where JoJo's coming from. She said, like, I want someone who I can speak openly and honestly about sexuality with. And I need that from someone. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. I'm shocked that this primetime show on ABC is addressing and acknowledging that a woman's sexuality actually exists. Claps to you, ABC.
Applause emoji.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like the stand-up dates, in the sense that you have to kind of show a little bit of, get out of their comfort zone, show a little fearlessness. Plus, there's just a ton of leeway, and we saw a lot of guys work around it. It's not like they really had to, you know, talk out a line about someone in their past.
No, they really didn't.
They could just talk about something in general and just make it funny.
Yeah, and I feel like this is much easier than a stand-up date, because with stand-up you actually have to write jokes and, you know, make sure that they make sense and that they're funny, where this, you could just like tell a personal story and people are gonna laugh because it's awkward, they're gonna laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think from what I saw, all of the guys did a really good job with this, except our boy Chad.
Chad, okay, so all the other guys.
And Evan.
Evan had his own little strategy, which, you know, think so he had
Evan
tons.
Evan had this idea that all the guys were like, do this. And then after he did it, they were like, oh, like, I don't know why Evan did that. Did you guys push him to do it? Anyway.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, well, like, I always talk about sex. It's my job, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to do something making fun of Chad, basically. So his story was like, the cautionary tale of steroids. Mm-hmm. And he just wasn't playing it well.
Right.
He was stuttering through it. You know, there was no connective tissue between points. I thought it could have been funny, but he just didn't do it funny.
Right.
So, you know, I thought he could have done a better job with it.
And I think he'd have a lot of other stories.
If you're
going
to commit to something like
clinic.
That, you commit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there might have been something that wasn't shown, just how they chopped the editing around, that he was, you know, implying
maybe.
Something about, you know, what happens when you take steroids. Because he just kind of, all they showed was about, like, rage and stuff, but I think he was talking about, like, you know, shrinkage or something like that, but they just couldn't show it. Because it still managed to set off Chad, which was his... plan, I guess. But yeah, all the other guys.
Yeah, it was like the inciting incident of like the 2 weeks of episodes.
Right.
Because as Evan was going back up, it's fresher in your mind. Did Evan push ish Chad? Like, it kind of seemed like he was like going to be like, hey, what up, man? Like, hilarious. And then Chad like ripped his shirt.
Yeah, it just seemed like he was trying to get through the aisle and maybe just didn't let Chad get out of the aisle first. And I think it was just Chad revisionist history. Like, no, it wasn't because I was embarrassed about his story. It was because he pushed me or something. So
villain's got a bill, you know?
Yeah, so true. Yeah. Were there any other stories of the guys that had better stories that stood out to you?
Okay, so the first story we got was from Grant, and I think going in this first position, no pun intended, guys, going first was kind of that would be pretty daunting, and I think he did well with it. He told this story, you know, about when he was 16, and then we went into a story with Nick S. when he was 16, blah, blah, blah. And then we started getting, like, clips of people's stories. We got a little bit of montage. We got something from Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then... we got to Wells, saying how, and that was my threesome experience and him walking off the stage.
Yeah.
So we heard nothing else of the story from our favorite person. So Amy and I, being the investigative journalists that we are, we needed to find this. So Amy, will you report our findings?
Yeah, in a disappointing twist, the threesome, just like all those bachelorette previews where you think you're getting one thing, basically his threesome was with a nurse and a proctologist in an exam, saying, like, the nurse was on one end pushing on his abdomen and the proctologist was like, it was like for a colonoscopy or something. So,
oh my God.
Wells got out of telling an actual story and just, you know, made a joke. So, yeah, I guess they showed the best clip of that. Typical bachelor tease.
What a shame. I feel like we should have just left this in
mystery
internet ether.
I know.
We could have just, you know,
Wells, you should have just kept
that
your
makes
reputation.
More sense for Wells' character.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he just, you know, needed to put that out there so that, you know.
Otherwise, did you end up watching Love in the off season?
Watch what?
Love.
No.
Like the show on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I'm going to spoil just a scooch of it.
Sure.
So at one point, like their nerdy, like main character, I can't remember his name right now, but it's played by Paul Rust. He's like propositioned for a threesome. And I can imagine like that being Wells too, just kind of being like a little geeky and kind of messing it up.
Uh-huh.
But I'm disappointed to hear that it was just like a doctor story.
Mm-hmm.
I was really hoping he'd get one for those nerdy guys, you know?
Yeah. You know, just add a little more to his character here, that character development. But, yeah, overall, it was a different date for The Bachelorette, which we always like. We always like these kind of competition performing dates. So especially when they have that many guys on a date rather than those, you know, individual competition dates versus the sports two teams dates, which are...
Or a boring firefighter challenge.
Yeah, exactly. One of the worst.
Too bad for you. We did get one of those boring sports dates, though, in the next episode.
Yeah,
but we'll
exactly.
get there.
Exactly. So then the next one-on-one, there were just a few options of who it could go to. Were you surprised that it went to James T?
Not at all, because she has such a boner for him.
Is it for his country music ways, or was it because he got the first place
okay,
in that other date?
Here's the thing.
What's the appeal?
I normally don't love a guy with a guitar. Like, that just doesn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But James T, he's growing on me.
Okay. And he gave her a little serenade, another new song.
And I loved his song. I thought it was great. I thought it was cute. There's something about, like, having a guitar there that makes it exponentially less awkward. Like, I just think of Casey singing to Allie and how, like, painful that was.
Right.
Or at least with the guitar, he could, like, you know, look at the guitar. He doesn't have to, like, stare into her eyes and, like, that's the most awkward part.
Right. And he actually has talent. He actually wrote unique songs.
Great point.
That aren't.
Yeah, and I thought the lyrics were cute, mm-hmm. and they were relevant, and JoJo loved it, and I thought it was perfect.
Yeah. He also was just very enthusiastic about everything, and he kind of did the whole, you know, I think my friends are better looking than me. I don't usually get the attention. I'm not used to being around pretty girls. Basically what Chad's been saying about some of these guys, like, oh, they've never seen a girl before. But, you know, to the, you know, he was just being, I think, kind of, I don't know, like, you could tell that he probably was a nerdy kid with big ears and a long
neck.
Yeah,
I buy this story from him.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a made-up sob story. It doesn't seem like too much of a stretch.
Because he seems a little dorky. He's like the country music Jason Segel almost.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, definitely. So he's endearingly dorky, but still a good-looking guy. And their
and
date
you could
was...
probably find gifs of his dick on the internet.
Report back, listeners. And then they did a swing dance date where they were sort of trained. And then they, with this older lady, got the little story about her lovely husband, and you know, we always have to have one of those old couples or
old people providing just to wisdom. Inspire us.
Yeah, that this could be lasting love, and get those sound bites about that. And then they show up outside, and it's almost like a flash mob going on kind of thing. But there's just these professional swing dancers. This would be my nightmare date. I would not want to actually do this. What do you think?
See, I'd be into this. Okay. I enjoy swing. Like, I've never personally swing danced, mm-hmm. but I like dancing. I enjoy that kind of thing. It wasn't like that they had to perform really in front of audience. They just kind of had to join in on the dancing. It seemed a lot of fun. And I think James really was the perfect person to take on this date. Because he didn't have this air about him where he was too good for it, or he knows he's not a good dancer, so he's just like doesn't try.
Right.
He was, like you said, he's very enthusiastic, and I think that attitude was just like a perfect fit for this date.
Right. Oh, you know what? I realized we didn't. Did we on the last group date? I don't think we actually talked about what Chad did, so I want to cover that.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
So, what was Chad's story that he told, if you can describe it?
I don't know. Did he tell a story? He just told Joe. He just got Joe. He said, "Jojo, I need you to come up here."
Right.
And then he said something like, "Oh, I don't live in the past," or something. And then like went to kiss her, and then she like turned away.
Yeah, and all the guys
were like, "Ooh," like it was Aki Milwaukee to the nth degree.
Yeah. Just trying to saying like, I don't believe in, you know, past.
Yeah,
is
how
past.
Did we skip this whole part? It was like the biggest part of the episode.
Right.
And then he was like angry, so then he punched a door, and then he went up to Evan and he like shoved him in the face, and Evan said, "Don't touch me, / you owe me a new shirt." Okay. Evan was all about this new shirt. Like, I know you got it at American Apparel for like $40, but that's your fault for spending that much on a shitty t-shirt.
Yeah, it could have been from Old
Go
Navy.
Go to Target. They mm-hmm. have great shirts. Target is the best place on earth.
Yeah, if it rips that quickly, you know, it was not a good shirt, Evan.
No,
to begin with. And yeah, and then Evan ended up getting the group date rose as well.
And then when Evan, well, after he gave JoJo the ultimatum, if Chad stays, I go. But that didn't really play out, so it was kind of like an empty threat,
right?
And then Evan walks out with this group date rose. They all sit down, and Chad goes, "Are you serious? Like, are you for real? Like, are you actually interested in this guy?" And JoJo was like, "What?
Like, do you know?" And she was like,
"I don't like what you're saying right now. You're being rude." And Chad's like, "You can't tell me that a dweeb like Evan would get any action." And this is kind of another one of those points where it's like, oh, like, you can't have a point, Chad, but you're just going about it in the worst possible way.
Yeah, I know. When they showed out in the preview, like, yesterday on The Bachelorette, when he's like, "You're trying to tell me you're actually vibing with this dude," it's like, yeah, he's saying what we're all thinking, but just in a way that's like, you really shouldn't be saying that in front of him, in front of her, which just gave him a rose. Like, you know, don't be rude, don't be a weirdo, like the Hailey Ford rules. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Do you think that she just gave Evan the rose because she didn't want to deal with that ultimatum yet? Like, it's like, oh, the producers want both these guys to stay. I don't want to, like...
I can't put myself in the mindset of JoJo giving Evan the rose, because he would not have made it past the first night with
right.
me.
Right. Yeah, because as soon as she did that...
skinnier than I am, and I can't date guys who are skinnier than me.
And
that is another really strong rule.
Yeah, that's one of my rules too. And if you kiss him, then he immediately is like, "Boys, daddy made out with JoJo."
Ew. Ew.
like made his life.
I wanted to end it all.
Oh my gosh.
Like, look, your dad made out with a pretty girl. Like, dreams do come true, kids.
Yeah.
Oh, tell your mom I made out with this girl. Like, oh, oh no, I hate it.
Yeah. Well, at least we know we're safe. He's not lasting long enough that we're gonna meet his like children on a date, right?
Are you sure? Now that you've put that idea in my mind, I don't know.
Who knows? Well, another thing that was funny is that Chad called Grant SpongeBob, which one of our listeners
we've all been
said
saying for the last couple of weeks.
So he really is the voice of the people. Oh man. Anything more?
Do you think Chad's voting Trump or Hillary?
Oh, Trump.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
He is like.
Speaking of, that's what Daniel was like. Okay, be more like Mussolini, not Hitler. Be more like Bush, not Trump. What did you think of Daniel kind of being there to sort of, like, Daniel's now a little torn. It's like he's trying to bridge the gap. Because even at some point,
like, does he know that Mussolini was kind of a dick too? And yeah, like, maybe not so as, okay, maybe he wasn't as dickish. Doesn't have the name recognition. Hitler, but
I think that's his point. Mussolini was like, just not, don't be the worst of the worst. He can still be a villain.
Yes, but.
Yeah. You know, he's Canadian. What, he's, you know, just kidding. He's bridging the peace. He's like,
yeah, see, Canadians know who Mussolini is. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, yeah, I said that last night. I was like, I'm surprised Daniel knows who Mussolini is.
Actually, that's probably why it didn't work. And I
think it was already tweeted back, like, oh, yeah, it's because he's Canadian. I have faith in the Canadian school system. If he was American, that would not be the case.
Right. Yeah, because Daniel even started, like, telling Chad, like, okay, maybe, yeah, tone it down.
Can you not compare me to Hitler? Like, I think that's a fair request from Chad.
That's true. Who would you compare him to? Like, he's starting to look like a character out of The Shining or some other horror movie or something.
Yeah, Chad is a whole breed of his own.
The whistling in the woods and all the scary stuff. Yeah.
But it's amazing to me that with Chad on this season, he's not even the top contender to be a murderer in the cast.
He's not?
And I think that, no, it's Luke.
Oh, Luke's still
second,
the murderer?
Second, Robbie. Third, Chad. Yeah. Is Luke still the murderer? Yeah, he's still the murderer.
Come on. You got a one-on-one with sled dogs. I don't know. I'm not on Luke's side, but I don't know. I think
it sounds like you are. you were on my side last week, saying like, "Yep, Luke's a murderer, that's for sure." And now you're backpedaling because he's afraid he's going to murder you.
I think that's what everyone was doing with Chad this time around. Like, do you think any? Because Derek was like legitimately scared. He had to switch rooms because the other development was that a security guard entered the house.
Yeah, that happened. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Do you think there's always a security guard and, like, he just started to get airtime?
Like, I don't know. It's fucked, that's for sure.
Because I think they always have to have someone around, right? Like, I don't know. Just some new storyline that they could have. I also thought it was funny. So we get to... Okay, I'm trying to... piece together the timeline again, but I think at some point when Evan pulls Chris Harrison aside, that was when Chris came to tell the guys there's not gonna be a cocktail party tonight, but
there's gonna be a pool party.
Yeah, it's just one of those bait and switch, like they think there's not gonna be the time to talk to her, but really they have an all-day pool party. And Evan
is just such a wiener.
Yeah. Because he takes this opportunity to pull Chris Harrison aside.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Like, you don't know what's going on in this show.
Chad is like, he's a danger to all of us. He's been threatening us, and he owes me $20 for my shirt.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then what did Chris do to? What did he even do? Just talk to Chad for a little bit and be like, yeah, maybe you should do something, bro, so we don't have to, like, actually get you off the show. Like,
because we need you for the drama.
Yeah.
And then Chad goes in, he's like, yo, Chris just told me that we've all, it's funny because, like, another example of Chad not being self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Us guys all have to figure out how to, like, coexist. And it's like, no, like, it's you. Like, you're the issue.
Right.
They all get along except you. Even your buddy Daniel, like, gets along with everyone else.
Yeah. Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, and then he had another great line about the pool party where he was like, yeah, all these guys have never seen a girl in a bikini. I don't want them to see JoJo. I can already tell what she looks like because I can tell through her dress. Something like that. Oh, man. Classic. So, another one of Chad's lines that comes up is he was saying, like, I want everyone to be, like, I don't know, something about, like, just leave me alone and then there won't be an issue. Like, just as soon as someone has a problem with him, it's like, just ignore me, don't talk to me, and then you'll be fine. So
again, another reasonable point, because he was like, I haven't started any of this. And I thought about it, and I was like, you're right. He hasn't started any of this. Yes, he's been kind of a dick, but everyone else is like, they've been the one like encircling him, being like, we've got to talk to you with our manly menness.
They've been poking.
And Chad's like,
the Chad
come
bear.
On, man. Like, I'm just trying to eat my lunch meat in peace, and y'all are interrupting that.
Yeah. Maybe they're just all
Chad
starving.
Chad is like the most interesting character that has been on this franchise in a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't had a villain like this before. Usually the villains are, they've got something back home and then it comes out. It's really boring. Like, I'm trying to think, on Andy's season, that one guy that they, just some story that there was not even anything aired about it. Just that, I guess he hit on a server at a restaurant they were at, but there was no footage of it. You know, it's more of these like behind the scenes stories. Whereas
I don't remember that happening.
Right. Like, cause it was just such a nothing. Whereas Chad is like bringing it to air. Like, we're seeing his reaction and getting his sound bites. So there's only so much, like, he can't claim it's totally edit, you know, because he actually said these things, no matter how much they splice it. But second episode that we saw tonight was sort of bridging that conversation. We didn't know from the preview, it made it look like he was going to just like go in and punch all the guys, of course, because we saw,
yeah, we
Evan
saw a
bleeding.
Lot of blood in the preview, mm-hmm. but like none of it was Chad created.
No.
Which we kind of expected because it was Bachelor and
Bachelor
we know
previews.
That they love to lie to us.
Yeah. So the bleeding was from synchronized swimming when Evan got elbowed or something, and then at the pool party or from the football date. But let's see. Anything that stood out to you from this pool party? Like maybe James jumping in wearing a suit?
That was stupid. Yeah. Suits are not cheap.
Yeah.
Bad idea. Derek was talking S about whatever that other guy's name, Chad, on his like 10 seconds with whatchamacallit, which, you know, I'm not an advocate for. You talk about yourself and no one else.
Mm. Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think anything exciting happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, Evan stole time away from Chad, and it's like, I don't know, if you want him, then why do you, kind of that line that we hear from all these bachelors or bachelorettes where they say, like, why am I here if you like this person? You know, kind of sees the complete opposite.
Yeah.
But he compared it to, you want ice cream or you want steak? But I think a lot of people want both those things.
I like both. I want both of them.
Right. So, and then was Chad eating a sweet potato raw at one point?
Yeah, at one point he definitely was. During the Hitler talk.
Yeah.
He was straight up eating sweet potato.
Oh, man.
And he was eating during this pool party date.
Yeah.
Great. I love it.
Floating on a swan floaty and all sorts of good stuff.
Chad has eaten more on this show than any contestant previously, maybe even all combined.
I know. I'm wondering if that's just like what's riling the guys up more. They're just mad that they're not getting any food because we've never seen anyone else eat. But he also says things like what he said to Derek, where he just presumes, like, I don't know what your problem is with me, man. Like, whatever guy like me stole your girlfriend or something. So that's not going to sit well, you know, because we know that Derek got cheated on, right? So.
Also, Derek is hot.
He is. He's got that gym helper look going on, but buffer. So I think he's taking a better approach than Evan, who's just tattling every which way.
Who's like whining.
Whining.
Whine City.
Yeah.
Or Alex, who's like, also pretty passive aggressive there too. He's like, bah, 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 bah. I don't know actually what he said, but that's what I heard.
Yeah, just kind of barking at him and poking the Chad bear, as Chad says. We get to the rose ceremony, and so when we get to the rose ceremony, Evan already has that rose. Chase and James got their date roses, and then she gives roses to Grant, Derek, Jordan, Luke, Robbie, Wells, James, F, who we don't see much of, Vinny, who we also don't see much of, Daniel, Alex, and then, of course, the last one is Chad. So we get all the sound bites of, like, if Chad stays, I can't believe this, and all the guys getting mad that, you know, three great guys, Christian, Ollie, and Nick, were eliminated. Do you have any parting words about any of those three? Nick, Santa Nick, Saint Nick, Christian, and Ollie.
Well, we lost 60% of our remaining diversity in one foul swoop.
Typical week three disappointing move. Yeah.
And it's a shame because I thought Ollie was great. I thought Christian was great. And I thought JoJo was vibing Nick.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one I was most surprised about because I thought she wanted his D just a little bit at least.
Right.
But like Vinny's still there.
I know.
And I've not had concrete proof that she's talked to Vinny yet.
I know. Yeah, that's he and James F. are, it's interesting to me that those two would stay over the three that were eliminated because we really haven't seen anything from them. And yeah, I mean, sad to see some of those guys go too. We didn't get much from them. I really liked Ollie from the first episode, like you said, but then after that, it was pretty clear he wasn't going too far because they didn't show much of him after that. Even not even saying anything negative about Chad. So when they don't get a soundbite on that, then it's pretty clear. And Christian is
totally
disappeared.
Then you know they're garbage.
Yeah. Got nothing to say. Then they move on. We're traveling in the week four of the episode to Pennsylvania. What about this destination, Haley? Is this an exciting cross-country
Here's
destination?
The thing. I love Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite states.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. And I love Pittsburgh. I love, 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 love Pittsburgh. And I was really excited to see it in this light because I think it's so great. I need to go back because I need to eat one of those sandwiches with the fries on it. I'm very into fries on my sandwich.
Oh, interesting. I've never tried that.
I like this thing a lot. We don't get this area very much. We don't get Midwest-ish. I guess Pittsburgh's not Midwest. It's like whatever. Anyway. I enjoyed it. How did you feel about it?
It was just sort of random for me. But you know, it's
well,
nothing
yeah,
different
because,
from
like,
their
the
Connecticut or
this episode.
Yeah, it's the same as like.
But it wasn't shoved in our face as much as like we're at the Mohegan Sun.
Exactly.
We're playing with the women's basketball team who happens to play at the Mohegan Sun.
Right. Yeah, we didn't get over the top like the New Mexico or the Mohegan Sun, where you're just like, what? So they just kind of jumped to the resort, which looked like a really nice resort. And they really just cut quickly into Luke's one-on-one date. He got the card that said, I like you very much. And then all of a sudden he's on sled dogs and they don't really acknowledge it. And
yeah,
they're just moving
like,
along.
Really?
You know, I was like, oh, okay. That's where that pun came from. And
it's funny Allie Lasher just texted me saying, like, Luke is not attractive because she just got to that point in the episode. And, like, no, he is not attractive.
I don't get it.
I don't like his face.
I was just going to ask you because JoJo calls him a GQ model. So I'm not seeing that. I had a poll up on my Twitter, which is hotter, the hot tub or Luke, because I really want to see. I know some of our listeners find Luke very attractive, so I'm going to see how this poll is doing. But, you know, JoJo is vibing him. So, I don't know.
She has a weird taste in guys.
Yeah, not much really stood out to me, but he did have a good story. So he is saying the right things, I guess, talking about.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a war veteran story that you kind of expect.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
We don't have to go into it, right? I think that'll just doom for our podcast.
It totally would.
Make me feel bad about making fun of him.
Good guy. He lost a friend in combat and at a very young age just kind of learned what was important to him, which I thought was good for him to notice and bring up on this date. So I've got 78 votes on my poll about what's hotter, Luke or the hot tub. Do you want to give an over-under on the percentage of who's going where?
When I voted, the hot tub was at
100%,
but there was only four votes in it.
No, right. Yeah, now it's at
70. So I'm going to go with 95% hot tub.
It's actually 64% hot tub, 36% Luke. So they're a solid, you know, contingent of Luke fans out there. I wish I could see who voted. Like, the Luke, like, what would the Luke fangirls' names be? I wonder.
They're just the ones searching the hashtag.
True, true. I don't think it, yeah. Because I don't have his name in it, so they couldn't search just for that. But, yeah, it definitely got some people that were looking for the hashtag. So, hot tub's still holding strong. 2 hours left on the poll, so we can check this after the podcast. But they did have a connection. I don't know. I think he's around through hometowns based on all the airtime he's been getting. What do you think?
I'd agree.
Yeah. And he's from
Texas.
I think
I called him as one of our hometown locks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like week one.
And Jordan is definitely, we think, a lock.
And I think James T is, too.
James T, okay. Because at one point, didn't we think Ollie was a lock?
So. I did. He had the hometown music. That was a mistake. Oh, but James T, definitely.
They threw us a curveball with that one.
Something I think I also called, but I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. I think I called Chad on a going on a 2-on-1 date.
Ooh, that was a good
call.
Did
I call that?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Maybe I dreamed it. I don't know. Anyway.
Dreams do come true.
So they get the next date card, and it has everyone's name on it except Chad and Alex. Mm-hmm. So in the most expected move possible, they're going on a 2-on-1. That means one of them is getting eliminated. First, we go to the group date, which is a football. We get alleged rapist Ben Roethlisberger come out to instruct the guys how to play football. Jordan Rodgers is like, I play football. This is going to be easy for me.
I like how he says, like, I was, you know, quarterback at Vanderbilt, and I played professionally. You know, it doesn't name any teams or anything, just kind of brushes that. Like, none of these teams want to be associated with me, the pros. It's just like, he's got his little phrase down. Yeah. 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 Did you know who these other two guys were that came out?
I'm ashamed to say I didn't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I would have known if Troy Polamalu came out. Mm-hmm. He's the one who did all the Head and Shoulders commercials.
Okay. Yeah, but the guys were excited. It was Derek, James T, Chase, Wells, James F, Evan,
yeah,
Grant,
all these dates
Jordan,
are like
Robbie.
Wet dreams for these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, it's not every day that they get to hang out with professional athletes. Like, you think? Yeah, they're not counting Jordan.
Like, I hang out with one all the time. It's for my brother. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway. And Robbie's like, hey, I'm a competitive swimmer.
Oh, I totally forgot about that, about him. I always forget he's there, but apparently they got this great connection without ever going on a date.
He tried to F her on the pool table. Definitely.
He's trying to get more answers to those bio questions.
Okay, getting ahead of myself. Okay.
Yeah.
it's one of these dates where they split into two teams. One team's kind of stacked. The other team's kind of like has all like James T, who has a bandage wrapped around his eyes so he can't see. Evan, who is 3'3" and I'm pretty sure was an extra in The Hobbit. And I don't even know who else was.
But then Jordan, clearly producer influence, gets to be like winner no matter what. So that, like, we're not going to cut off the one-on-one time with Jordan. He definitely has to get the rose and all this. So whatever he said, he was like quarterback for both teams. I don't really get how that works, but, you know, you get to switch teams. And then the team that we thought didn't look that strong won, right? Evan's team? Evan's like, we killed it.
Because of Derek. Derek had a really great move where he stole the ball from Jordan. And that's probably why Jordan didn't actually make it as a football player.
Now Derek can add that to his resume, that he stole the ball from a professional player.
Yeah. So they went on the date, and what happened here besides Robbie trying to F on the pool table?
Jordan, she said, I can't figure you out. That's just kind of the line she said. So then he started saying, I'm falling for you. And that earned him the rose. I think that's about all that happened. But yeah, Robbie, they had this whole chat about, it's weird. We've never really spent any time together, but we're moving along. And I don't know. And then she kind of promised him that he would
moving
get a
along
date.
His anterior V.
Yeah. He kind of did that whole putting you on the pushing the balls away on the pool table. I'm gonna throw you down, and then it was just kind of like tepid making out. But you know, what are you gonna do? Apparently that works. So I don't know. I'm not feeling Robbie at all. You're saying he's murderer vibes as well. So
I think he creeps me the F out.
Yeah. Is it his loafers with no socks and his, I don't know, Will Forte-ness or his high hair?
Oh, see, awkward, because I also don't wear socks with many shoes.
Well, I don't either, but it just looked weird on him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect. So we move on from this group date and we finally get it to our 2-on-1. But before that, Chad finds it necessary to threaten to murder his fellow housemates.
He'll find them after the show, you know. Just one thing.
He'll find out where they live.
Yeah, it's not over. And Jordan's just like, yeah, do it. I hope you do. So if only he had threatened a different guy, then maybe, I don't know, more would have come into play. Like, Jordan wasn't actually scared, I guess, but it just seemed like something that really should have warranted intervention at that point. But it's like nothing.
Yeah, you would think. Like, I think, like, Chad has been making a lot of pretty insane remarks to these guys.
Yeah. Like, if it was Big Brother house, live feeds, I feel like he would have been yanked.
People would be up in arms.
And maybe it's because there's actual security around that they don't, you know, whereas a live feeds Big Brother, there aren't other forces around to intervene. Maybe there's something there. But still, he's pushing the boundaries, I would think, on whatever they have to legally sign and stuff.
I'd
liable
say.
For. But were you excited about this 2-on-1 showdown? Because even though you said it was like obvious, I can't believe I didn't think of it until like one of the, like Alex had the soundbite at the beginning, like, oh, there's probably gonna be a 2-on-1. I don't want to be with Chad. And then it's like, well, now we obviously are gonna get that. But I didn't think of it before this episode.
Yeah, because I also feel like this is kind of early for a 2-on-1.
Yeah, maybe that's why too. Week 4, already doing a 2-on-1.
Yeah, we don't usually get it till like week 7 or 8,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when it's like down to the last two guys who are women that you know are just kind of floating along who aren't contenders. Yeah. Yeah. Now, this one, they get lost in the woods. Wasn't a whole lot going on here in terms of activity.
No, there was nothing going on
just
here.
Just sitting on a picnic blanket, awkwardly chatting, and then she just knows that Alex has to tell her about Chad, so she's like, hey, you want to go talk, Alex? And he just sort of reiterates those comments. He had a lot, he was all talk before this date. It was mostly just the lead up to this date of him like, guys, I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna do this for you, and really what didn't seem at all excited to be there with JoJo. He just wanted to beat Chad.
Yeah, really. You know? Like, I definitely get where you're coming from with that. And I was almost like, okay, maybe Alex isn't coming back, maybe Chad's coming back, or maybe neither of them are coming back. But it was pretty cut and dry. Alex stayed, Chad went. JoJo confronted Chad, and she's both basically like, have you threatened these guys? And he's kind of like, well, like, I guess, sort of. And then she's like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And then Chad is left to wander around the woods at dusk, which seems like a poor idea to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said, like, I have to find Alex now because he's the one talking about me. And he doesn't end up finding Alex. They got pulled to some other resort, I guess. But he does show back up at the mansion after the guys are all cheering, and his it's kind of like that Kelsey scene on Chris's season.
Yeah.
When the suitcase gets pulled away and they're all like, yeah, it's gone, you know. So, but he shows back up, knocks on the door, and this is where we're left with the cliffhanger for that we have to wait 2 weeks to be resolved. What do you think is going to happen with this showdown here?
I do not know, and this is actually something that I think is going to be very interesting, and I don't think what they showed us is going to be misleading. Like, I think Chad shows up at the house, because we didn't really get anything of the guy's confrontation with Chad afterwards. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see actually what does happen. So,
yeah, I'm excited about that.
And it seems like we're getting a lot of drama in the next episode, too, from a lot
from
of
JoJo
sources.
Yeah. And how are you feeling about JoJo as the lead this now that we're 4 weeks in? Is there anything that's standing out to you about where she might rank with other bachelorettes or what she does differently or how you're feeling about her?
I like her a lot, but I'm waiting for her one blow up with someone.
She's letting a lot slide right now. Like she's even with Chad, she's just sort of like she got more emotional about it rather than just like
I'm waiting for that moment
where
like Emily lost it on Kaylin.
Mm-hmm. Where she just kind of stands up for herself more and reaches that.
Yeah.
Like she's still in the like I'm on TV, I'm gonna keep my composure and give people the benefit of the doubt mode.
And I like her. I'm enjoying her a lot. I think her dates have been fun, and I think that's indicative of who she is as a person. She seems fun. She's beautiful. Her outfit was slamming tonight. Mm-hmm. I enjoy her a lot. I want just a little more from her, and I think we're going to get it in a couple weeks.
And we want her to explain the appeal of Luke and Robbie and some of these guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I really need.
We're like,
I need that.
You're hard to read, JoJo. We don't get it. Yeah. So let's jump to questions. But before we do that, do you have an iTunes review to share?
I do.
So
okay. So this is from Tara, parentheses T.
Okay.
She said, "I wish these girls were my friends." Tara, we are your friends. Okay. Mm-hmm. We are friends.
Yes.
She says, "I love Amy and Haley. I listen to them while I'm on my short commute. I get upset when I have to turn them off to say hi to the security guard. Is it the same security guard? Is it the Bachelor Mansion?
Ooh,
let
maybe.
Us know."
Yeah.
When I say hi to the security guard in my building, because it feels like I'm hanging up on a great phone convo. They are the only reason why I follow the Bachelor shows because I want to connect with my boos. Thanks for being fabulous as always. XOXOXOT. Oh, that was so sweet.
Thanks,
I'm
Tara.
Like smiling right now.
Yeah, that's so nice. It's always like, nice to know that people are following along and that they're tuning into the show just so they can keep
they
up with
us.
Our little convos and our catch-up time. Because it's like we're on the phone. You're on the phone with us. We're chatting over Skype, all of us together. So, yeah, if you want to leave a review.
And we love when you tweet a lot. Like, when you, like, listen to the show and, like, tweet along with us. Because I often forget what I even say. So it's great to be reminded that I'm an embarrassment to my family.
Nice. Yes. And if you would like to leave a review, we'd really appreciate it. And we pick one each week to be entered into a contest where you will be sent at the end of the season, the one we draw, a bachelorette prize pack. So we have one winner so far who is patiently waiting to receive his bachelor prize pack, but we'll have a new one at the end of the bachelorette. So thanks to everyone who's left reviews. We'll be picking from the ones that we haven't chosen already and any new ones that come up. Okay, so we got a lot of questions from this two-night Chad-ageddon, as they were calling it on the Bachelor promotions this week. A lot of hashtags that are possible with Chad here. But let's jump into those. Thanks to everyone for leaving questions. So this one comes from from Twitter at And Evans. Is Chad the Russell Hance of Survivor? Great TV, but can never win. What do you think of that comparison, Haley?
That's very interesting. Is he the, I think that's a really good comparison now that I think about it, because I think Russell also has that quality where he's self-aware but also horrifically not self-aware at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Chad will ever make it quite as far as Russell did.
Yeah, because it's up to JoJo. So, you know, he technically got eliminated already, so he can't win, but he also can't be like the final two. So he's not quite the villain in the sense of like a Courtney Robertson who could win. You know, it's the lead is going to see through this person as well. Katie Kleber at KIK Swimmer on Twitter wants to know, have you ever seen a more awkward headband than Evans?
Anytime I try and wear a headband, it looks way more awkward than that.
Really?
And I try. I do try.
It's hard to beat Evan's awkwardness, so that's a talent, I guess.
I know.
And then Stephen Lien on Twitter wants to know, just have a glass of milk. It's delicious. Best comeback ever? That was pretty funny.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. See, again, Chad has the best sound bites. And just like me, I'm always about that food too.
Yep.
Get that food life.
Maybe you can get one of those milk mustache ads going or something.
Ooh, cute.
He is a model, from what I can tell on Twitter. Sarah Deemer at Love Grove City says, regarding the end scene, are you glad to see Evan and Daniel are friends now? Did you get the end scene in Canada?
I did. You know, I also got a commercial about bleachable moments, too.
For the first time
I saw that commercial.
Wow, nice.
I did. You know, the moment, I thought it was cute. Daniel's groking on me?
Whoa, the Lambo is growing on you. We haven't seen that much of him with JoJo, but I like his presence in the house. He's bridging the gap.
Yeah, like, I don't want to make out with him.
No.
But I appreciate that he's there and what he's doing. He just seems to, like, bring light to everyone in the house.
Yeah.
Like, even Chad.
I think he is now a lock for Bachelor in Paradise. What do you think? Because he's not the...
Yes, I like that.
He's, like, the douche, but he's friendly and cheery, and he's not a villain, like...
Well, because he's Canadian.
Yeah. He's obviously friendly. Yes. This one is from A. Jose 25. It says, first time watching The Bachelorette and loving Chad. Does every season have a villain like this? Hashtag R-A-J-P. Well, no. Chad is unique.
They always try and, like, make a villain, but we've never had a Chad before.
No. No, I'm trying to think who would be similar. And...
like, maybe Kelsey, but, like, I don't think Kelsey was aware of her villainous status at all. Like,
right.
I always felt that she looked at herself as a complete victim, where I don't think Chad looks at himself like that.
Right. What about Kaylin? He was just more rude and...
But I feel like JoJo was actually into Chad, where I felt like... Emily was never into Kaylin, really.
Okay, yeah. This is from Nick Sabetta, Sabettasaurus on Twitter. Did you notice how Chad's response to Chris about him using steroids was basically how it's not like he could bring them with him? I love that answer.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that. It was like, wait a second. No one's denying anything here.
No. Yeah, Chris pulls him aside and is like, he insinuated using steroids. He's like, I could never bring those here. So he is.
Why couldn't he bring steroids to the house?
Like,
though?
They could never, they search them and stuff. So
I know, but like, why not?
I don't know. Wouldn't they just,
is it a performance? Like, is JoJo going to like him more because he does steroids? Like, it's not a performance enhancing drug in the Bachelor house.
I don't know. I think maybe he tried and it got taken away from him. He's like, hey, I could never bring that here. Yeah, so didn't deny it, that's for sure. So it could be on withdrawal and roid rage going on. I don't know if it was too much fan fiction there for Evan's story. This is from Ari Ferrari on Twitter. My question for the podcast, why are all the guys ignoring your advice of not talking about the other peeps during one-on-one time?
Because they're stupid.
And probably a little producer prodding going on, being like, oh,
yeah,
you better tell
them. They don't listen to our podcast, which is a huge mistake, as our listeners know.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing out on lots of fun facts.
Yep. Yeah. You know, they're just influenced by the producers and just saying, like, this is my chance. Just kind of like how Robbie was like, yeah, I really had to tell you how I feel because it just occurred to me. And it's like, no, it's because... the producer is saying, hey, this is your only time to tell him. Your only time with her.
You might not get a date.
Mm-hmm.
She might send you home.
You gotta know. She has to know how you feel. This is from Nicole Chong. So many scenes of the guys working out and singing and having hilarious conversations. Example, Daniel relating Chad to Hitler and Donald Trump. How come they rarely ever show the group of women on The Bachelor doing anything other than gossiping? Are the women on The Bachelor just not as funny or interesting to show what they do during their free time? Or do they literally just gossip and drink 24/7?
I feel like we do get a little bit of this from the girl, and I think a great example of this is the JoJo Becker relationship. We saw a lot of tidbits from them where it's just like, oh, these girls are great, they're fun to hang out with. But we definitely do get more of it from the guys. I don't know if there's just more material there or what. But I can see where you're coming from. But we do see the girls having fun once in a while, because girls just got to have fun, right?
Yeah, and I think it was even more pronounced, I'd say, in the earlier seasons. I think it was just like, because the guys just always got along. There wasn't even any issues with the guys. Like, I'm trying to think on Deanna's seasons, and just like, they were just having fun growing out, you know, in their little bachelor pad, and, you know, it was all fun downtime. It didn't even seem like they were interested in going on dates half the time, because it's just, you know, basically a frat house when they're not on the dates. But I think part of it too is just how the show wants the groups to be perceived. So they're not going to show, it's going to be boring, but they're going to get clips of gossiping and talking about somebody else. So we could see in Ben's season, the women who were friends and supporting Lauren, for example, when what's her face, Leah, said something about her. So mm-hmm. we could tell that there were friendships forming, but we just didn't see a lot of
them. Yeah, or even in that same episode where Joe approached Ben and said, hey, like, listen, we get that you dig Lauren, we can all see it, but like, you need to do a better job at making us all feel equal. Where like, the girls were never upset with Lauren. Uh-huh. They were always upset with Ben.
Right. Yeah, that's nice. This is from Kristen Narr. I don't often venture into the cesspools that are show's Facebook pages, but I was curious what was being said there after night one. Are you surprised to hear that most of the top comments are defending Chad?
I'm very surprised to hear that from the Facebook page commenters. Mm-hmm. I think we've always had this perception of that those are like the casual fans. They're not really thinking about the show in the way that I'd say that the Twitter crowd watches the show. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Facebook crowd watches it with a little more seriousness, where the Twitter crowd, you know, watches it to make fun of, and that's fine. Right. Whatever way you watch it, you watch it. So I would have assumed that the casual crowd would have just absolutely despised Chad. So I'm very shocked to hear that they were supporting him, and I'm, you know, I didn't even think about it till right now, but I should have gone and looked to see actually what they were saying, what they were defending him for. I thought they would have been on like Alex's side, who's like a veteran. People love Marines.
Right. Yeah. And then I'm afraid to go there in case there's spoilers and comments or things like that. So, but thank you, Kristen, for reporting that, because that surprised me as well. This is from Melanie Hakimpour. Do you suppose the Bachelorettes are trained to talk a certain way? I swear I could close my eyes and JoJo sounds exactly like Ashley and Andy and every other girl that's had a chance to be the Bachelorette. They all talk in that same stilted way.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that makes a lot of sense. I think the person, you know, they all have like a similar personality trait, and apparently they have a similar vocal tic too.
Yeah, or just the phrases that they have to lean on. And some of them maybe grew up watching The Bachelorette, so it's become a character.
I never considered that. Like, this is this generation that's on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette right now are the people who grew up with this show in their lives. Like, even like the 30-year-olds, mm-hmm. it was like 15 or like, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17 when it started. So it's crazy.
Yeah. It's weird to think that someone could be watching it at a young age with the dream. And I think we saw that character on Ben's season, that one Lauren, you know, who was just like so obsessed with the show. And maybe this the super fan this time around. So yeah, that's weird. Kristen Narr, how much of what we're seeing of Chad is real versus playing a character / villain?
It's really, really, really hard for me to tell, because I waver back and forth between like, no, he knows what he's doing, and like, oh my God, he doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little of both. What do you think about that?
Yeah, especially when we see like what he's done after the show. He seems more like embracing the villain role. And I've looked at his Twitter a little bit, and it's just sort of like, hey, I'm entertaining you, aren't I, kind of thing. So I don't know if it's like playing into it now that he knows how the show is going to, you know, obviously leaving the show knowing that he was painted as a villain, but it's his behavior at the same time. So it's hard to say. I think it's him. I don't think he came on to be the villain, but I think maybe once he saw where it was going, was playing into it, especially in his confessionals when he was just ripping on all the guys.
But yeah, definitely.
He's loving the attention now, from what I can tell. So, let's see. Got a couple more here. This is from Tori Harris. The evolution of Chris Harrison, pretending to clean up the mansion's mess, was this his douchiest moment yet? We haven't talked a lot about Chris's evolution this season. We haven't seen a lot of him.
We didn't see him before this week. Yeah. I thought it was really funny when he threw like the garbage into the garbage can. Like, I thought that was hilarious. I loved it.
Did you? Yeah. As if he was really, really out there with the staff.
Playing it up.
Another one from Kristen. Nar, are you as disappointed as I am to have heard the boring sex stories, but not about Wells' threesome? So we touched on this already, but yeah, maybe we should have left that just to be the mystery, and we would have all just continued wondering about that. I think maybe that would have been smarter on Wells' behalf to just, you know, if he wants to get cast on Bachelor in Paradise, he should have just left the mystery out there, I think.
Yeah. Well, and they left the mystery for us, so that worked.
Mm-hmm. And then we got one through our email. So our email is bachelorrehapup@gmail.com. So bachelor and then rehapup@gmail.com. And this is from Caleb. Caleb wants to know, I'm a new fan to The Bachelor. Has anyone ever been kicked off before for violence? And do you think that makes the show better with that kind of drama?
I don't have as much Bachelor's history as you do, Amy. Amy, do you remember any instance in this happening?
I'm trying to think. I remember guys getting kicked off for, you know, being too drunk and or being rude.
Having a girlfriend.
Having a girlfriend, but not that I can think of. I'm trying to think of for Bachelor in Paradise or anything like that. I'm sure there has to be one, but not that I can think of. So that's something that hopefully one of our loyal listeners, if there is something, hopefully. they will let us know, because it's
and second part of the question, and do you think that makes the show better with that kind of drama? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it makes it better with that kind of drama. I just don't think we see this drama very often, so it's just kind of like an interesting twist, because it can get a little monotonous season to season. You can kind of predict what's going to happen based on the personality types that are there. So this adds like a, you know, it's a different flair, and I don't condone violence or threatening people's lives or threatening to stalk them, but you know, it's definitely a different thing than we've seen before. And I think that Chad is a very different character than we've seen before. And I think that's what's interesting.
Yeah. He's a different conflict resolution style. That's for sure. He doesn't handle conflict well, or
his conflict resolution strategy is murder.
Yeah. Maybe punching in the mouth first. If that doesn't shut them up, then murder. So that's it for questions. Haley, is there anything else that you want to share, or do you want to let people know where to find you? And
So I'll just mention that there's a lot of great stuff going up on the Wrap Up Network right now. The Challenge podcast and the Are You the One podcast is kicking around, and those are great. Allie and Brian do a really great job covering the MTV shows. What else is going on? Jordan Parher is still doing a lot of great stuff on their happy hour. The American Ninja Warrior podcast is back in action. The first episode about the new season is up, so go listen to all of those. And then go back to our episodes and listen to all of those again, and then review us on iTunes. That'd be great.
You can
find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_ and on Snapchat @hstrong28.
and I'm at RHAP Recapper. And we'll have an updated draft for you as well, because we recorded this right after. But George will have that out on Twitter this week for the updated week 4 scorecard. Follow him at GeorgeCTV if you want to catch up with that before our next podcast. But enjoy the basketball finals or the Bachelorette 20 special next week, and listen to, yeah, check out some other stuff, listen to some archives, something you might have missed while we're on our little vacay. But thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.